Hey everyone, it's me, your host, Cindy Ketzel. It means so much to us that you are joining us for this episode of 9 to Thrive HR. We have an incredible year planned for you with experts in HR, talent management, and business strategy. It is our mission to provide you easy on the ears education, genuine curiosity, resources, and even some action items while staying in alignment with HCI's research areas. You all know we love making connections, so if you have an opportunity for suggestions or topics that you'd like to send them our way to podcasts@hci.org. You all, it is not lost on us the opportunity that we have had over the last few years to have a variety of guests on from Eightfold AI. We've had them on our podcast. We've also been fortunate to have them in our weekly webinars. And today is no exception. I'm so excited. We've been doing some start of the year, getting kicked off for 2025 podcasts. So this one adds nicely into that topic. We have Sasha Comet with us, Chief Product Officer at Eightfold. And Sasha is a seasoned product leader and entrepreneur with extensive experience in consumer internet and enterprise products. He has a career spanning Silicon Valley, growth companies, startups, and S&P 500 firms. He has extensive experience scaling internet businesses, driving engagement, and fostering growth. What a great fit for Eightfold. His expertise in building successful mobile and desktop products and cross-cultural experiences from living and working across continents adds a unique dimension to his leadership. Specializing in product management, strategy, marketplaces, and mobile applications, Sasha continues to drive innovation and success at Eightfold. Boy, we are so fortunate to have you. I know Eightfold feels so fortunate to have you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Cindy.
I wanted to start today, you know, I was thinking about, as I mentioned to our listeners, we're kind of starting with a series of breaking into 2025. And one thing that was really interesting to me is you all had recently done a global survey. And I wanted to spend maybe half of our conversation just to look at some of these, what I'll call eye-catching findings from that particular survey. So just kind of going over some of these findings that you all dug up for us. And then we'll turn the tides a little bit and I think talk about what's on everyone's minds. You know, how do we utilize AI to help address some of these challenges? So good plan for us today. Does that work for you?
Absolutely.
One of the eye-catching findings was that 53% of HR departments claim to be fully involved in the development and execution of their organization's overall business strategy. So 50%, that's half, right? I mean, in some respects, I can see, wow, we're doing better than we've done historically. But the other side of my mouth, I'm thinking, wow, only 50%. So what do you think accounts for this?
Yeah. So first of all, it's 2025. It's 5 years past the pandemic. And I know during the pandemic, you know, many CHROs found themselves in a situation where they had a seat at the table with the CEO, you know, really thinking through business strategy, right? So what we have seen, I think, in the last few years is sort of a return to the norm where, you know, HR is still being perceived more as a support function than a true partner of the business. And I think to a certain extent, the expectation that the pandemic would be the new norm, I don't think that's quite taken hold in the last few years. And, you know, I think part of this really just comes down to the fact that at times in a lot of companies, there is inertia in the way that businesses operate, right? It's typically a small set of people making decisions. And then sometimes HR is, you know, not sort of at the table when those decisions are being made. So that is, in my opinion, what is playing out in this survey. Now, that being said, I do think that some of the lessons from the pandemic and some of the new capabilities that HR developed as a result in terms of, you know, new intelligence, new insights, new data, I do think that can be used to sort of change the narrative here. And that is what we are seeing play out with some of our customers.
Interesting. But you know, I hadn't thought about that. You're absolutely right. Across the globe, we went through major disruption. And during that time, obviously, the workforce was probably the most taxed, and I don't mean that literally, I mean by fatigue, you know, probably the most spent in terms of that time frame. And so it certainly made sense to have HR really close to the vest at that time. But I hadn't thought about that it's kind of returned to pre those days. You bring up a really good point. Well, you know, like you said, the advantages we're starting to see. That there's technologies that have maybe held on. But share with our listeners what that downside or the impact of that misalignment as we do think about HR maybe moving away from having that proverbial seat at the table or being involved in those decisions. How does that create some misalignment there between HR and some of those broader business objectives, and then how is that impacting us in terms of perhaps cost to the business, business productivity, whether or not we're being efficient? What does that look like for us? What's the downside there?
Yeah, so let me actually pick an example from my own career. So about 5 years ago, you know, when the pandemic was raging, I happened to be working at Uber, basically in a centralized role in product. And you know, one of the things I observed when the business was completely disrupted by COVID, the company had to make very rapid decisions in terms of, you know, effectively how to right size, given 90% of its revenue from its core business, which was the rights business, was impacted. And, you know, this is a classic example of a decision being made in a silo, right? Which is the rights business saw the numbers, it made a decision to cut thousands of people, but it completely missed what was happening in a different part of the company, right? Where the Uber Eats business was starting to scale and, you know, effectively it greatly needed the resources that the rights business didn't need. And that's an example of a centralized decision where HR could have been, you know, someone that had a seat at the table and basically helping make the right decisions at the company level versus at the level of a particular line of business. And unfortunately that didn't happen. So the net result was, you know, thousands of people were let go. And the following month, they were brought back to the company, right? And that's an example of the type of, you know, I would say decision that plays out at different levels across all companies, right? Where siloed decisions are made. But if a centralized part of the company like HR looking holistically, horizontally across the company would have been at the table, then the decision might have been different.
What an astounding example. Perfect example.
Yeah, we actually see this play out in many different ways, right? I mean, I know that 5 years ago, the extreme situation that most companies went through is probably now fading, as I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation. But I do think that that was a great example for where HR being, you know, sort of looking at it in a centralized fashion across companies, horizontally across all the different lines of businesses, it could definitely play a much, much stronger part than historically it has been.
As you talked through that example, you know, my eyes were lining up with these words on my page, which were part of the question I had mentioned to you of how does this impact cost? How does this impact business productivity? And how does this impact our efficiencies in our organization? And when you gave that example, I mean, all three of those were hit, right? Because now we've spent a month, right, figuring out that, oops, we need these people. So it certainly add probably costs, right, to business disruption. And then the opportunity to be productive, we now have to bring all these folks back on board, right? And that's time. Not as efficient as, to your point, as had HR. Who are the experts in our assets? Right? Had they been at that discussion early on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Could not have said it better, like by giving explanation, just that example was perfect. So thank you for that. My next question, as we think about this global survey that you all conducted, has to do with talent strategies. And so another number that came out of that survey was the number 44. So 44% of your respondents believe their talent strategies are aligned with overall business goals. Now, I can certainly see where that plays a little bit of a part into our previous question or comment from the survey. But it deserves some space here to have this conversation in that, again, we're below 50%. How can HR align their decision-making, their hiring, right, their workforce planning, and of course, those long-term talent strategies to help to boost this a little bit, bring that up from that 44%.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's worthwhile to understand, you know, why this number is low, right? Because a lot of HR organizations are actually facing a data gap. When you start thinking about sort of how the market is trending, how talent is trending, how skills are trending, many companies face this situation where they don't actually have the data to make the best decision. And solving this, in my opinion, really comes down to, do you have the right data and insights about your employees? Do you have the right data and insights about candidates and sort of how the market is trending in terms of the labor market as a whole? And if you had this capability, then what you would end up with is a deep understanding of your existing talent, a deep understanding of, you know, where the business needs to grow in the future, and how do you bridge the gap between the now versus the future in terms of the direction that you're trying to go in. Now, interestingly, this is a space that 8-Fold does play in, and, you know, systems that we have brought to market, like our talent intelligence platform, really go towards the heart of solving the core gap that exists at companies when it comes to understanding both your existing talent as well as the talent that you're looking to hire in the future.
When I think about this, you know, and I think about planning for our workforce, right? Strategically planning for our workforce, looking ahead to your point. I mean, we have to have executive sponsorship and to find that data, right? We've got to have those insights, the current state, where we need to be, future state, where's that gap and how do we fill it? That needs to exist. But I guess my question is even a step before that. Are you seeing in your experience with customers or even in your experience of what you're hearing or your opinion with all of your vast knowledge, where does that sit in that executive suite of leadership, right? Because there has to be a sponsor saying, hey, we have to be tracking this and taking time to think about where we are today, where we need to be in the future, as opposed to just making quick decisions to fill a seat, if you will.
Yeah. So typically what we have seen is that the CHRO is the executive that takes the lead in terms of workforce planning and really thinking about, you know, what skills are required in the future by the company. But it's also the executives that run different businesses, right? Because they're the ones that own business strategy. They are the ones that have to define what are the directions that the company is going to head in the future. And, you know, large corporations that have done this, you know, year in and year out, typically have processes where they invite these different executives to the fore, they run a structured planning process, and generally the output of that planning process is not just the business strategy, but also the people strategy that's going to make the company successful.
Yep. And would you say that's when we're talking in a successful process, perhaps challenges with that process, but successfully working through that process? But in your experience, is there a gap there?
Yeah, there's definitely a gap there historically in terms of the participation of the CHRO, right? Where if the CHRO can come into that conversation armed with the right data and insights about, you know, is the strategy actually supportable by the human capital that exists at the company, right? Is it a situation where you need to cultivate a certain set of skills in the future? Does the market, you know, support the strategy in terms of the availability of talent? These are the kinds of questions that the CHRO is well placed to answer if they have the right insights and data supporting them.
Yeah, perfect. And to have those discussions, that it's valuable enough to have those discussions. But it goes back to what you even said earlier, CHRO and its insight that comes into that CHR role needs to exist at the table, right? They need to be part of that decision making, have to be.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, my third focus here on a numeric value that came out of that survey that I think our listeners will be curious about. 75% of HR leaders said they do have the tools and resources for employees to grow in their roles. Excellent, right? But what we're hearing is there's still some disconnect between, yes, we've got those tools, But maybe it's a little bit lack of understanding what those employee needs might be. So how can you explain that? Where's that disconnect perhaps?
Yeah, so interestingly, we also surveyed employees in the same survey, right? And tried to understand if their perception actually aligns with HR. And what we found is that most employees have the perception that the tools don't exist, right? For, you know, their careers to be progressed at companies. Most HR folks, 75% of them feel that the tools do exist. And I think that's where that disconnect is. And so in my opinion, the perception of HR is actually anchored with a bit of inertia and, you know, focus on the past in terms of the types of tools that employees expect. While in 2025, most employees are now using AI to do their jobs, they're using ChatGPT, they're using all these amazing tools that are being built. And what they're finding is that the HR tooling just hasn't kept up with the market. And that's sort of my perception as a product person in terms of what may be going on here in this stat, which is there's a clear disconnect between HR and the employee.
Interesting. So fair enough, the HR leaders are saying we have tools, but perhaps they are not the tools that are needed for today. Is that a good way to say it?
Yes, I think that's really what's going on here with this stack.
Okay. Interesting. And you would agree, and I think I'm kind of picking up on this as we've gone through, and then we're going to switch to really diving into some of those AI questions. But I think what I'm hearing from you, then, it is pretty critical for understanding the skills crucial for us in our business leaders, right? So we need to understand that, right? We need to understand what skills our business leaders need, first and foremost. And then there needs to be, and maybe we'll talk about this as we get to the discussion on AI, because then on top of that, HR leaders will continue to need to anticipate those future skills and how that aligns with talent development, right? So those are probably part of these tools that might be missing. Would you suggest that or?
Yeah. So, I mean, skills really are the building block here that can help companies deeply understand what their people are capable of today and what they're capable of in the future. And, you know, I firmly believe that deeply understanding skills is the first step towards basically unlocking the capability of the workforce and then also utilizing that data in terms of developing the workforce in the future. You know, one of the things that we see very often in our customer base is that internal mobility tends to become a very, I would say, quick way to solve talent needs across the company. And it really creates a situation where these internal talent pools are core towards helping solve for different needs that come up in the business over the course of the year. Because it's so much easier to staff people that are already employees of the company on the right things versus trying to recruit them from the outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, your example that you gave with Uber during that pandemic, I mean, that's a great example of that, right? Being able to see the future and, you know, we're losing ground in this area or at a deficit in this area situationally, but we can move these folks with that skill set into another part of the business. Yeah, smart way to plan. Well, the areas that we've talked about so far, we're talking about being involved, HR being involved, or simply just the, you know, execution of that business strategy. We're talking about talent strategies, making sure they're alignment with what our future goals are. We're talking about in this last survey finding, you know, talking about that there may be some disconnect there between, you know, HR saying, but we've got the tools and the employees saying, it's not the right tool. It's not what we need. So let's talk a little bit about how, and I know you've mentioned it in planting some seeds here already, but how are organizations utilizing AI to overcome some of these challenges?
Yeah, so obviously AI over the last couple of years now has just been part of our lives in new and pretty amazing ways, right? If you just think about the way that we're actually using it on an everyday basis from, you know, crafting our emails to, you know, basically writing documents for us. But when it comes to the HR space, companies like 8Fold have been around for a while, and we've really been innovating on making possible things that were not possible before in the HR space. So take, for example, you know, companies that have millions of candidates in their database. How do you go from those millions of candidates down to the, you know, 20 or 30 people that are just the right fit for a particular job at a company. That's the kind of AI that we've been innovating on over the last several years. And today that AI is incredibly powerful, right? It can automate workflows within companies. It can help surface the right candidates. It can actually message them. It can move them forward in the hiring process. For internal mobility, it can help surface the right people within the company that can do a particular job. There's a lot of new capabilities that are now possible that weren't possible before. And so, you know, I do think AI is actually much more a part of the HR, you know, sort of toolkit today than it's ever been before. And we've seen many, many new uses of AI actually emerge over the last, I would say, several quarters in terms of our customer base as well.
And, you know, as we implement the solutions to bring those components together, meaning HR in alignment with business strategy, and to your point, you know, looking for gaps or looking for candidates externally, looking for internal mobility. Once we have that alignment, AI is going to make that process so much quicker, right? To fill those gaps.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are obviously things that companies can do to prepare to use AI in many of these different processes, including implementing, you know, a talent intelligence system like the one that I mentioned earlier on in our chat. It really comes down to, in my opinion, holistically looking at all the data that an enterprise holds when it comes to employees, candidates, and being able to then, you know, make the connections between someone that may be a, you know, diamond in the rough for a particular role and, you know, actually making sure that they end up in the right place for the company, right? And I think the Uber example that I talked about in the beginning is an extreme one, but, you know, smaller versions of that play out every single day at companies that we interact with.
Absolutely. That's a very powerful example to give. Exactly. I'm sure that anyone listening can be like, I've had a version of that. We just had something happen like that today. 100%. So I guess my next question for you is, as you mentioned, you all have been around for some time and working in this space for some time. So I would consider you all AI leaders. So what is the responsibility of an organization like you all in that implementation and utilization of that technology?
Yeah, so 8Fold was founded with this mission of trying to enable the right career for everyone in the world. And that's a mission that we take definitely very, very seriously. So when you think about, you know, the potential harms that AI can cause, and, you know, potentially given that algorithms are so much more scalable than humans, if they aren't used in a responsible fashion, you could end up with creating lots of potential harms in the world. And so that is a position that we take very, very seriously, right? Which is, if you don't build the algorithms in a responsible fashion, and if you don't put the right controls in place, then you could potentially inflict a lot of harm in the world. And our position here is very simple, which is, we want to make sure that we create a world that is fairer, we create a world that enables the right career for everyone in the world at scale, and we also want to make sure that we drive value for our customers. And, you know, doing this in a way where the algorithms can be tested, that they're explainable, that they comply with all of the regulation that's out there in terms of new regulation that is being built, and actually having a seat at the table with the regulators as well, because in a lot of ways, the rules of the road are still being set when it comes to AI. So the use of AI responsibly is something that we take very, very seriously as a company. And we would love to continue to lead in the space as we work with many of the regulators around the world.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Would you foresee, or this might already be happening, is there often now somebody internal to the organization that maybe has a focus on AI? Like, are there AI teams now being built in organizations?
Yeah, actually, we have come across responsible AI committees at many of the customers that we work with. And I mean, it's clearly a movement where a lot of software today has AI capabilities. And, you know, companies do want to get their arms around, what does it mean for a company? What does it mean in terms of risk? And how do you navigate that risk within the use of that technology?
Yeah, and that's right. And along with a lot of other services that 8Fold provides, I mean, using this word responsibly, which I love, even being the expert in ensuring that organizations are responsibly using their AI.
Correct. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, we have spent many, many years perfecting, and we continue to work with many of our customers on this.
Yeah, perfect. Love that. Yeah, I know you all have a lot of ways in which you can work with customers, but I hear that. I hear that loud and clear. All right. So, Sasha, my last question for your time here is a big one. I don't know if it's really a big one. It's probably bigger for me because I'm a little bit more removed from the space. But what would you say? What's the next best thing or the next big thing? What's going on? What's the next big advancement in usage or deployment of AI in HR? What are you seeing? What do you expect? What's on the horizon for us?
Yeah, so, you know, I would say that at this point, we are very much on the cusp of sort of the next major advancement in technology as a whole, right? Many of you may have been hearing about agentic automation and, you know, new capabilities being built in the software industry broadly. And the HR space is not immune to this, right? Where in a lot of ways, what machines are capable of is continuing to advance at an incredible rate. So we're now starting to see a situation where in 2025, before the end of this year, you will see situations where previous processes that were completely driven by humans will be automated in a lot of major companies. And parts of HR will be automated using, you know, AI. And that could include parts of the recruiting process. It could include parts of, you know, the core HR process at companies. And many of our customers are starting to make these leaps right now in reality, right? So this is not far out. It's not that far away. And in my opinion, HR is definitely going to lead the way in terms of adopting some of these technologies.
I love that. And it marries so well. And I know different organizations use different language for this, but it marries so well with the model that HCI represents, which is a strategic human resource business partner, which is really what we've been talking about all along and having that seat at the table. But when I think about that, Sasha, I think about how some of these task-oriented responsibilities, right, can now be picked up through AI, and that gives freedom for our HR folks to kind of move more into that strategic space and working with their leaders and lift out of some of that tactical stuff that we've been working on lifting out of for years.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, 2025 is a year where a big leap is going to be made in that direction.
I can't wait. I'm excited to watch it happen. And, you know, we have at HCI, we have participants in classes all year long. So it'll be exciting to hear how their world is changing as well. Well, gosh, thank you so much. As I shared with listeners and I shared with Sasha as we started this conversation, we've been kind of pulling together some what's ahead for 2025 as we launched this year's podcast. So thank you so much for being a part of that.
You're welcome.
All right, my 9 to Thrive friends. Just some reminders, shoot us an email at podcasts@hci.org if you do have any suggestions for topics or guests. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a rating. Those ratings and reviews are so meaningful to us and help other talent-minded professionals find us. For 9 to Thrive HR and all of us here at HCI, we appreciate you for tuning in. Make it a great day, everyone.